You're listening to Her Side Hustle, the podcast whose mission is to educate and empower the females out there who are hustling to turn their dreams into a reality. I'm your host, Rachel Burke, a 20-something-year-old on a journey to start a movement. I believe females are absolutely capable of creating wildly profitable and purpose-driven businesses. Join me each Tuesday as we sit down with successful female hustlers and hear all about their journey to becoming a female founder. All you need is a little bit of hustle and a whole lot of heart. Let's hear about her side hustle.
Hey, Brittany, how are you?
I am doing very well today. How are you, Rachel?
I'm good. I'm glad to have you on. You're the first like social media Instagram expert that we'll have on this show. So I'm excited because I personally could use some tips and tricks when it comes to my social media strategy. I'm excited to chat with you today.
Ooh, that's a lot to put on me, the first one.
Yeah, but I'm confident that you know your stuff. I took a look at your Instagram before this, and it definitely sounds or it definitely looks like you've got some experience in Instagram.
Absolutely. Well, I'd love to share whatever I can to help your audience.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit. I know I just said you're an Instagram coach for side hustlers, but tell us a little bit more about your business, what it is that you do. What is an Instagram coach?
Well, there are multiple different types of Instagram coach. So I'll just speak to what I do. So essentially what I do is I help business owners, especially like network marketers and anybody who's working their business on the side or turning it into that full-time like job, whatever that passion is that they have and they're turning it into that full-time commitment. I teach them how to broadcast their products or their services and strategize using Instagram as their main lead generator.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I feel like Instagram is such a powerful platform in today's world that I would say actually it's the most powerful platform and out of all like the social media options out there for online, you know, businesses or side hustlers. So I think what you're doing is going to really resonate with a lot of listeners today. Now, how did the idea for Instagram coaching come about?
Like many people with kind of, I assume, just kind of fall into the different things that really just like become their passion. I am a network marketer. So I took to Instagram begrudgingly because I am someone who is an introvert, completely shy, hate having photos taken of me. But I saw the power that Instagram had for me to use for a system to reach cold audiences with my network marketing company. And it turned into me really investing in myself and learning from like influencers and, you know, other network marketers and copywriters. And I took every little piece that they had and that I could like, you know, absorb and turned it into something for my business. And then all of a sudden I started doing really well in my network marketing company. And all these other teams in my company were starting to ask me like, well, what are you doing? How are you reaching these goals so quickly? And then I started helping them with their Instagram and their social media in general. And then it turned into like, I am really passionate about this. And it just lights a fire in my heart for helping someone learn how to use social media properly. Because I've done all the wrong things. So many people have done all the wrong things. And, you know, when you do that, it's just like you feel like a failure. But when you can kind of turn it around and do the right things and have the right strategy behind it, it can really skyrocket any type of business you have. And like I was giving away all the advice for free. And my husband kind of said, why aren't you charging people for this? And then it turned into, okay, maybe this is like the side hustle of my side hustle, which then turned into my full hustle.
I feel like a lot of the women I actually talk to, their like side hustle or their full-time, you know, business wasn't something that was like super natural to them at first. Like I was just chatting with a lady yesterday who she writes a blog, she has a podcast, like she does all sorts of like writing and content producing, but she said that she hated writing at first and she was so bad at it. I feel like it's kind of like a developed skill. So you really developed your Instagram skills and you know, developed the confidence to really put yourself out there through just kind of like learning from others, like other influencers and through your network marketing? Is that pretty much how you kind of like developed all of that expertise and all of that knowledge?
Yeah, I really just took pieces from a lot of different people. I saw people who were doing well on, say, like writing captions and or, you know, writing blog posts. And I started really like diving into the importance of the content that we're providing and, you know, how to actually use organic growth tactics on Instagram from like influencers, you know, the people who post the pretty pictures all over the world. And like, I took what they were doing and realized what I had been doing all along, which is garbage. And so, yeah, that really just, you start taking pieces, or I did, start taking pieces from all different types of people and kind of put it into, you know, one little box that I wish I had when I first started.
So how long were you in network marketing before you decided like, wait, Instagram coaching is actually where I can really help out? Like, how long did you do network marketing before you kind of like dove into the side hustle of your side hustle?
I am still in my network marketing company. Thankfully, the residuals is just so nice. So it's hard to say, to turn away from that, but I'm not as active as I was at one time, just because the Instagram coaching has just taken up so much of my time. But I was with that company, or I have been with that company for about 4 years, and about 2.5 into it, I realized that I, you know, wanted to add another thing into, I guess, my like utility belt, so to speak. And, you know, so that, you know, a couple of years, 2 years is when I really found like the additional, because multiple streams of income for anybody is brilliant. And that's what I thought. I'm like, I might as well add some more money into my systems, right?
Yeah. I think diversifying and yeah, like the multiple streams of income is really what like takes your business or your brand, I guess you could say, to the next level. You know, like it's great to have that, the network marketing, but if you have other like skills and expertise and passions that you can share with the world and people want it, that's really where you're going to be raking it in. So totally agree with that. And then, so it was about 2 or so years after the network marketing that you got into the coaching side of your business. How long have you been doing, how long have you been coaching for?
I've been very strict full-time. I quit my full-time CrossFit job, personal training, October of last year, and turned it into full-time then. Before, it was just a little bit on the side. So just a little over a year has it been my like full dedication.
Got it. Okay. That's awesome. And has it been tough? Well, actually, no, I'm assuming right before COVID, that was probably the best time to like to leave the training CrossFit business. You said it was October 2019, right?
Yes. And I look at that and I'm like, I was so scared to make that decision, but had I not, I would have, my whole world, like many others, would have been rocked, just because, you know, the gym I was working at, they shut down, and I wore many hats in that gym as well. And I would have gone from, you know, fully focusing on that to no income whatsoever. And I don't know how well, you know, as I can imagine many people, devastation and everything. And thankfully I had this as a backup plan, but if I hadn't, I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah. Yeah. That's scary to think about. That could have, your life could be very different right now had you not kind of like launched your side hustle into your full-time business. So I'm sure it was really scary at the time, but you know, it definitely paid off. So I'm glad that you were able to kind of get out at the right time.
Yes.
How many side hustlers are you coaching like on average? Do you kind of have like a steady number each month that you work with, or does it really like fluctuate? What does that look like for you?
For what I offer, I have a mini product, which is a Reels course that takes you through like everything you need to know about Instagram Reels and how to use it for your business. There's thousands of people inside of that course, but I don't do like hands-on coaching with them. They get the trainings and then access to any updated trainings that I have. And then I have an actual like Instagram growth course that includes a mastermind with me. And at this time, we have roughly about 200 people in that I work with that get access to me essentially every single day if they choose to have it, through a Facebook group. So, you know, it's different, but I'm not working like one-on-one coaching. That I used to do that about a year ago, and then turned into, I could help way more people if I turned it into a course with access to me through a closed Facebook group, and then monthly coaching calls with everybody.
That's awesome. Those numbers are really impressive that, you know, you've had your business for full-time for a year and you're already hitting a lot of people in such a short time. That's great. What does a typical day or week look like for an Instagram coach? You mentioned that you have like this Facebook community that you're always available to them. So is it a little bit tough kind of like balancing them always asking for your advice and your guidance, but also producing content on your Instagram? Like, is that tough at all for you? Or do you have like a kind of a schedule that you follow each week? Or is it really changes every day?
It's busy. I will say that I do a good job of keeping things about the same every single day if I can control it. The unfortunate part is that social media just never stops and things never shut down. So the main day for me, you know, wake up with my husband, we have coffee, we work out, and then I start my day about 6:30, 7 o'clock. And the big thing for me, the prioritizing for me right now is making sure that my students have the access to me. So I do make sure that I check in with them through the community about 3 to 4 times a day. That way I'm back to them within 24 hours. As far as content creation goes, I do try to batch it as best as possible. But I think it's important to just let everybody know that sometimes your life just kind of gets in the way of things and you can't control everything. So sometimes your content may be not the greatest for a week or two, or you're not going to be posting as much as you want to. And I'm learning the balance of that and to give yourself grace. So the biggest thing that you can do in general, and what I do, is I try to have content ideas ready to go so I can batch them. And even if I have it created, if the day just gets chaotic, which as a business owner, it does. Like, I had a website completely go down yesterday that I had to spend most of the day working on. I wasn't able to post the content I wanted, so I had to push it back a day. And I think at the beginning of my business, I would have thought that that was the end of the world. But now it's like, prioritize what you need to, which is the people inside of my Facebook community, and then, you know, get done what you can get done and just be okay that it's not going to be perfect every day.
Yeah. I was actually watching Shark Tank the other night, and I can't remember, there was like a quote that I love, but it was something like, perfection is like the enemy of like growth or something like that. And it's true. Like, I feel like so many side hustlers or small business owners, or not even small, any business owners, you can't focus on, like, you can't obsess with things being perfect. Like you said, one week your content might not be that great because you're juggling a million other things at once. And that's okay. Just like, put it out there. It's fine. Like, it will be okay. Do you have a hard time with kind of like shutting down sometimes, or are you constantly like scrolling through social media? Like, how do you unplug, I guess? Is that tough for you?
I would say it's almost non-existent for me right now. I don't have a team. It's just myself. So right now it's yes, I'm constantly looking. And if, you know, I'm in other closed Facebook groups, I'm on Twitter, Reddit. And like, as soon as I see something about Instagram, I try it, test it out and see if it works. And then I might have like a mini try it test with some of my clients. And, you know, it's one of those things that I try, my DMs are always full, and my husband will say like, you don't need to respond to people, you know, within 24 hours. Like, that's absolutely absurd. And I'm like, no, but that's the customer service I want to give. So it is hard. And, you know, like when you have all the unread messages and such, and you're just like, all I want to do is take an hour for myself. But then I spend that time typically, you know, responding to DMs and connecting with the people who have the questions. And if I went into my DMs right now, the amount of like, hey, I've got a quick question for you, it would, you know, most people would start laughing at it. But I try to respond to everybody within 24 hours. And right now it's hard to disconnect. And I hope in the future that I get a little bit of automation and team going, that it's not so much that, you know, Sunday through Saturday spending like all of my time on social media.
So how is it hard for you to remain creative? I mean, with, especially with like reels now, you really got to like, I don't know. It seems like it's a lot of effort. You really have to be creative. You have to remain posting relevant content. Is it ever a struggle for you where you're like, I'm just like kind of running out of ideas? Or like, do you have any, I guess, techniques on how you can, you know, stay posting relevant content?
Yeah. One of the things that I implemented about, I would say 6 to 8 months ago was like, what do you want to know Wednesday in my story? And I allow people to ask any questions they want. And I take those ideas and I make sure to save every single question that somebody has. That way I can use it to kind of fill my bucket of content ideas. It's true. There's so much out there and there's so much that even Instagram came out and said, you know, if you want to be successful, you need to post 3 IGTVs a week, 5 to 7 reels and 3 to 5 posts a week. And it's like, no. Nobody has time for that. Not at least quality content. So, you know, you can let it be overwhelming, but then you can also step back and think, okay, reels are amazing right now. They have a much longer lifespan of any other type of content you're going to post. And you can be as silly as you want to be, or, you know, just stand and like point to the screen and put on a fun song and just, you know, do a little couple bubbles and a caption and get away with that right now. And I think it's kind of a blessing. At first, I was really upset by the launch of it because I'm like, not another thing. But it's really been awesome because it requires a little bit less time, in my opinion, than trying to make sure I have a good photo to go along with this great caption. And, you know, then, you know, it's only around for like 24 to 48 hours. But the great thing also about that too, is that not every single one of your followers is going to see that post. So what I do is every piece of content I have, I've probably already done or will be doing a live about it. That live gets shared as an IGTV. So I just multitask there. I can use the bullet points from that as a reel. And then I can take that reel and also make it a story and, you know, go further in explanation about it a little bit longer than the bullet points. And then I can also turn it into a caption. So that's really what you want to do is when you have your ideas is figure out how you can make it fit all different pieces of Instagram.
Yeah, I think repurposing is really, really key in kind of like saving you time because the content that you're putting out is great. And if you can like repurpose that, whether, so, you know, one day you did a reel on it and then in 3 months, you just posted like a picture with the good caption on the same content, but just kind of like repurposing it. I think that that's definitely a way to really help yourself out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you don't even need to wait 3 months. Honestly, most people won't see it or won't remember it whatsoever a week later because they see so much stuff or they might remember a little like tidbit from it, but they'll get something new when you do it in like a new format. So there are sometimes I'll even take an idea. I'm going to do my live about it, share it as an IGTV on Monday. On Friday, I'm doing a story about it. And then on like Thursday, I'm doing a reel or a post about it.
That's awesome.
The next week. Yeah. There's just so much out there. People aren't going to remember. So don't make it harder than it has to be.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I mean, even like my personal Instagram or even the business one, I never remember what people are posting. Like on a Monday, I would never know. So that's actually a very good point. Okay, quick question for you. How many do you like recommend a certain amount of times that a side hustler has to like post on a weekly basis? Or does it really not matter? Any frequency on that?
Instagram came out and said they want 3 IGTVs a week, 5 to 7 reels a week, 3 to 5 posts a week, and stories every single day, at least 2 stories a day. And like I said, that's just like, there's no way to continue to create quality content at that rate. At that point, you're just posting to post. And personal opinion and what I've seen the best growth overall from myself and my students is really focusing on the quality of it, of the content you're creating. And if that means that you're only posting 2 to 3 times a week, then that's fine. You know, just make sure that it's great content. I would keep like 1 regular post, multitask by going live and sharing as an IGTV, and then 2 reels a week. And that's you know, you've checked your bucket and you're on like the track for growth. Anything above and beyond that, if it's quality, is great, but it's not necessarily needed.
For any side hustlers who are kind of like just starting out, they don't have any, you know, they don't have like a strong following. Do you have any tips for them for just like kind of building a following when they're new?
Yeah. Make sure that you know the community of people, your niche, your target demographic that you're speaking to from the very beginning. Even Instagram has said that it's very important that you build a community of people. And what they mean by that is that you've built a following of the same type of people and that you're speaking to them every single time that you create content. And remember that the moment that you decide to monetize your Instagram, that it is no longer about you and it is about them. So speak to the community and create that community and make sure that they feel heard when you're creating content.
What about hashtags? How do you feel about them? Do you think that they're like, are they still relevant and important to use? Or because this, I was wondering this the other day, every time that I post hashtags and I'm like, I don't even know. Like I personally have never clicked on a hashtag and like followed, like, I don't know. I just don't follow hashtags myself. So I was wondering like, are they important to use still?
After Instagram shut them down and between the election and the inauguration, they became not necessarily less useful, but I guess less useful on the following aspect. What you really want to focus on is, like I said, creating that community and knowing exactly like what type of content and what, you know, what category you're fitting into on Instagram, because the Explore page and the Reels Explore page, that's where you're going to get most of your followers from. I say hashtags are great for that like vanity metric. They're great for saves and shares. They're really great for likes and mediocre for comments. But to actually really gain followers, you want to hit the Explore page, which is the little magnifying glass, and then the Reels Explore page where you just kind of scroll through Reels, because that's where people are going to find you, because like your content is directly put on their account because Instagram thought that they would want to see it most. And then that means that that person most likely is your target demographic and will follow you.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. I always look at the Explore page just because I think it's interesting. So that makes sense that that's kind of like the way to really get new followers and gain exposure. Now, I saw on your Instagram, you recently talked about removing followers and why it's important, even though it's scary for a lot of people. Are you able to touch on this at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I said it was an unpopular opinion, and I know I got some slack, like I had a few people bigger than me in the industry tell me I was wrong, and that's okay, because it's my opinion. But Instagram has come out to say that they really care about the engagement rating of your account and your post. So what happens is when you post, you go through different levels of your following. Your post goes out and gets seen by the people who are most active on your account first. They like and they comment and they engage on it, then the post will get seen by another level of your following. Same thing, if they like, comment, engage on it, then it goes to more and more people. And it's kind of like this like outwardly effect. And if you have a large following of people who maybe aren't your target demographic, but the big thing I was speaking on is bot accounts. Like you'll see they'll have no profile picture or a weird profile picture. Their name is going to be like a mix of numbers and letters and not really make sense, or a language that you don't speak. And you'll click on it and they're probably following thousands of accounts, but have maybe a handful of followers, no posts, no bio, nothing. Those accounts are inactive and they're created to build. Essentially what happens is that these people create these fake accounts, so they potentially will gain some followers. And then eventually they can go and sell those accounts, but they're not active and they're not engaging. They're doing nothing. So what happens is when you go through the levels and you haven't removed these people, and I also say creepy dudes, because they don't engage with you. They just send you roses in the DMs.
That's so weird.
So bad. But if you're not actively removing those people and auditing them, and I say go slow, like five, you know, you don't have to go through and remove your entire following, but go through and like at 5 at a time, just remove them, because what's happening is that they're stifling the engagement rating of your post. And the importance of that engagement rating is where you are seen in hashtags. So if your engagement rating, which is the like the average percent of engagement that you're receiving based off the follower count that you have, if it's high and, you know, compared to others that have used the same hashtags as you, you can get ranked on that top post page. And the higher you are, like when you go to a hashtag and you type in like hashtag boss babe, and you type, the first page you see is the top post page. And then you can also go to recent posts, but the top post is important because as your engagement rating goes up and up and up, it goes up that top post page to be ranked in the top like 9 to 12. And that's where you're going to see a large engagement, like a lot of likes and comments and saves and shares and potential followers based off the fact that your post has a high engagement rating. But if you have a mass following of people who aren't active or never engage with your content, then you're only going to make it to that first, maybe second level of your following to be shown your content. So your engagement's just going to go down and down and down. And the people who read this and acted upon it, it reached out to me and they're like, oh my God, my last post had like 50 more likes than it's ever had based off the fact that I removed people. Or you can go to your insights if you have a business account and you can look to see like how many people your account has reached. And it drastically went up because they removed the followers who just were fake or bot or spammy or creepy dudes or just a completely inactive accounts. And it's pretty amazing what can happen if you just kind of audit a little bit. You know, I'm not saying remove 100 followers at once, just like 5. And that will improve the overall engagement rating of your post.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I know you said that you've gotten some backlash on that, but I've heard a lot of people mentioning like the benefits for removing followers. So I definitely want to look into that. Not that I have that many, but if it does, you know, help kind of like weed out the people that aren't going, like they're not helping you in regards to Instagram and your content and getting visibility to the people that actually matter. Yeah, I definitely will kind of use that advice and look at my own Instagram for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, a lot of small business owners or side hustlers, they might be juggling a full-time job. They might have kids running around. You know, if they're newer to Instagram, it's hard. Like it takes more thought and effort to produce relevant content on your Instagram. And I know you mentioned batching earlier. Any tips for people who it takes them like an hour or two to just post one post? Any tips on kind of how they can kind of like expedite this process?
The more you do it, the better you'll get. Same way. When I first started, it took me a long time to create, especially when I first started playing with Reels. It takes a while to edit and things. First thing, don't be so hard on yourself. It's not going to be perfect. I'm dyslexic. There's always going to be a typo in any content I create. And I just stopped worrying about it. So it's just, don't think about being perfect. Just think about, you know, messy is better than nothing. And you'll get better the more that you work on it. If you practice writing every single day, you're going to be very proficient at writing. If you practice, you know, just playing around while you have your kid next to you with editing, even if you're never going to publish that particular one, but you're playing around with effects and how to like word placement on Reels and such, you're going to be better when it comes down to actually, you know, putting in the time. And the big thing too, I worked beyond full time with my CrossFit coaching early mornings until 9 p.m. Like I had to leave my house at like 4:30 in the morning. I didn't get home till like 9 Monday through Friday. And then I worked Saturday and Sunday too. Yeah.
Sounds miserable.
It was miserable. Which is why like what I do now is like, oh, it's not that big of a deal compared to what I was doing. At least I'm home. I snuck in, like if I had 5 minutes between a client and all I could do was like use the bathroom and stuff a protein bar down my face, I was sitting there like writing out at least like one portion of my caption and then, you know, go into, you know, the next client and then the next thing. So if you can, you know, give yourself the 5 minutes, but also I made a huge point of like blocking out time in my schedule because it is important. Like long term, if you don't want to be living in the life that you're currently living and you want to reach your goals, you're going to have to make some form of sacrifices. If that means you have to get up an hour early on like Saturday, then you really want to, so you can work on creation, then do it, because you're not always going to have to do it. And it's not always going to have to take you like as long as it currently is. You know, the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I feel it's funny. I shared my husband, so I have this podcast, I have a full-time job. And then I also started a bookkeeping business recently. And I showed my husband my Instagram for the bookkeeping business. And he was like reading them all. And he was like, you definitely are getting better with your captions. Like, which it's true. Like just keep practicing, keep going. It's not going to be perfect. That's okay. Don't strive for perfect. Just get it out there. So I agree with that. There are new platforms always coming out. I mean, TikTok, now Clubhouse is a huge thing. Like Facebook's obviously been around for a long time. Instagram is, you know, an empire. Do you get like threatened at all by when like these new platforms come out with your business? Or do you think that they're going to be great for Instagram? Is Instagram going to be like impacted over the next 5 years, you think, with things like Clubhouse? What are your thoughts on that?
Instagram and Facebook. Well, Facebook owns Instagram, and I don't see them going anywhere. They are just going to continue to incorporate the best aspects of the other platforms. And the CEOs even said that, like, they're continuing to better the platform. And, you know, everybody was upset when Stories launched in 2016, and because it was like stolen from Snapchat, and then the Reels, and all these people were upset that Reels was happening because it was just like TikTok, but yet we continue to love and embrace these things. Like, I couldn't tell you what Instagram was like before Stories or even now before Reels, and it's only been 7 months. So the platform, anything that comes out that could potentially not knock it out, but make it less, you know, awesome in our opinion, they're just going to take that and make it, you know, ours. And it's also going to go generationally. Like, you know, LinkedIn is out there, but you know, that's mainly for business professionals, and Facebook's for older, quote unquote, 50 plus is the types of people that use Facebook. And then like for Instagram, you know, we're going to have our generation of people use that, and the younger generation is going to use TikTok and then whatever else comes out there. I don't know that anything will, you know, beat it out. I just think it's going to make Instagram be like, okay, what do we need to be even better and better? Because they don't want to be the MySpace where like nobody uses that anymore, which I do miss MySpace, but.
I do too. I loved MySpace. That's actually I tried to log into my MySpace account recently, yeah, because my husband and we're high school sweethearts, and we actually messaged each other on MySpace, and I wanted to get those conversations, but I couldn't get in. But I agree. I feel like I remember when Stories came out with Instagram, and I was like, this is so weird. I hate this. And honestly, every time that something new comes out with Instagram, I always hate it at first, but you kind of like, you get used to it, and then you realize, wait, I actually love this. And same with Reels. At first I was like, what? Like, they're just copying TikTok. This is stupid. But now I don't even have TikTok. I just watch Reels on, you know, on Instagram. So yeah, they're going to continue to evolve. They're not going to just like say, all right, you know, TikTok came out, so whatever, we're just going to close down Instagram. That's never going to happen.
No. And there are some people out there, some big name people who kind of, and fearmonger is kind of what I call it, where they're like, you have to be on XYZ if you want to be successful. And, you know, I was on Clubhouse for a hot minute, and I did like a bunch of different rooms, and it drained me completely down. And just because when you're on that level of a platform, it's people want all the free from you, and they want as like everything that they can kind of pull out of you, they will. And I mean, that's what you're there for. And it just became so much, because then it was great that they come over and follow me on Instagram, but then they're like, hey, can you do this and this and this and this for me? And I'm like, you know what? I'm on TikTok as well, but it's like Instagram's still going to be the place to be. And while these other places are great to kind of lead back to your Instagram, they should only be a small percentage of everything else that you do. Even people on, say, YouTube that have decent sized YouTube channels, they still spend you know, most of their time over on Instagram to get people to go over and look at their YouTube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely agree with that. It's Clubhouse. I downloaded it, but I haven't actually like participated yet. I've listened to some, but yeah, it seems kind of stressful to actually have to be the person talking because you really have to have content and you have to be on it for like an hour. Whereas on Instagram, you can post like a really awesome, concise, caption, but then that's kind of it, you know? So yeah, mm-hmm. I could see that being a little bit of a challenge. Now, if you had to start your career over again, is there anything that you would do differently or anything that you wish that you had known?
A lot of things I wish I had known.
Right.
Differently, as far as, you know, the only different thing that I probably would have done was quit my job earlier. Just because the stress of that while trying to do so many other things that were for me versus somebody else, not that it was a bad job that I had, I just worked a lot. But I was pushing somebody else's pocketbook further. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like I was adding to somebody else's life and enriching their life and was draining mine. And it took me a long time to really cut the ties to that and realize like, I need to do something and take a risk for me, which is not typically me. But that's probably it. I would have decided earlier on that, you know, this is what I want to do. So I'm going to let go of anything else that's not serving that end goal.
Yeah.
That purpose.
I think I honestly hear that a lot, that people just wish that they had taken that leap of faith sooner. And started giving like their full attention to their side hustle or their business rather than kind of like half-assing it, but it's, mm-hmm. but it's scary. So yeah, you really gotta make sure that you've got everything lined up, that you have money to support yourself, that you've got a clear picture on what you want, like where you want to grow your business. And yeah, then you just gotta do it, get the confidence and do it. All right. Two remaining questions for you. One, any last like words of wisdom or advice for females out there? They're really wanting to start a side hustle, but they don't know where to start. They're scared, you know, they don't know how to start. Any advice for them?
Take the one thing that if a friend asked you about that you could talk endlessly about and passionately. You don't have to be the expert or certifications or degrees. I have a lot of fitness certifications, but no degree in marketing or anything like that. And it doesn't matter in the end of games. You just have to be one or two steps ahead of the person behind you and take the thing that you're passionate about and figure out how you can use that to serve others. And even if it's only serving one other person at that time, it's only going to have that snowball effect and grow as long as you're passionate about it.
Last question. Where can our listeners connect with you, learn more about, you know, how to improve their Instagram, follow along on your journey? Is there anywhere that you, obviously your Instagram, but anywhere else that actually say your Instagram handle, and then do you have like a website or is there anywhere else that they can kind of follow along or is it primarily through your Instagram account?
My Instagram is at Brittany Battla, BRITTNEY, BATLA, Battla. That's the main place to hang out with me. I do have a small Facebook community that's free for anybody to join. And I'm working on a blog that's TBA. That should be out later this quarter.
Awesome. Perfect. And yeah, for anybody listening, I will, I'll share the link for Facebook group and I'll share the Instagram handle, but I really, really appreciate your time today, Brittany. You dropped some really helpful knowledge on all of us, including myself. So really happy to have you here. And I'm excited to see where your business takes off. And I'm excited to read that blog when it comes out.
Thank you so much. I really appreciated this and giving me the opportunity to speak with your listeners.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review so other lady hustlers can find the show. Until next time, keep going.